to it, see.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. I got a little bit of mixed emotions, mixed feelings here this morning. Got a great guest coming up with us, Alex Newman from the New American. We'll talk about that. We're just going to sit down. We're going to talk about the deep state in education. Yeah, you heard that right. You heard that, the importance of it. And I know that most of you listening here today understand educational issues, but you're going to understand them even more greatly when Alex is done. But before I got a heavy heart this morning. I want to share it with you real quickly before we move on here. I don't know how many of you saw the election results, you know, Super Tuesday and all that stuff, and everybody's looking at Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders and the fight that's going on over there, and the media's hyping it, and then there's coronavirus and all this stuff, and it's just everything. There's just chaos after chaos after chaos in the media, which the election results. Judge Roy finished fourth in a runoff in Alabama. Former football coach, 33%. Jeff Sessions had 31%. Jeff Sessions, we know Jeff Sessions, right? Bradley Byrne, this is a Republican runoff. Bradley Byrne had 25.2%. Are you ready? Judge Roy Moore, that's 7%. Now, here's the point that I want to make to you, because you better open your eyes up and you better understand what's going on, my friends. 4 years ago, Judge Roy Moore was the most popular candidate, political figure in the state of Alabama. Judge Roy Moore was. He was elected to the Supreme Court chief, got thrown out because he stood for truth, justice, and the American way, ran for re-election, got elected again to the Supreme Court of Alabama, stood for truth, justice, and the American way, and got thrown out again. The most popular candidate in the state of Alabama. And then Judge Roy Moore decided he would throw his hat in the ring and run for Senate in Alabama. A sure thing, Alabama hadn't had a Democratic senator in like 60, 80 years. Sure thing, right, to replace Jeff Sessions, who went to go act like he was going to be on Donald Trump's side there for a while. Now Sessions wants his job back. But hang on. What happened to Judge Roy Moore? You know what happened. The media came in and bombarded him with old allegations about sexual transgressions back when he was, I don't know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. They Kavanaugh'd him. Do you remember that? They Kavanaugh'd him. They Kavanaugh'd Judge Roy Moore. Republican Party did not want Roy Moore to be senator. They did. Trump half-heartedly endorsed him. The Republican Party didn't want a guy like Roy Moore. That's your Republican Party, by the way. Didn't want a guy like Judge Roy Moore in the Senate. They did everything they could to muddy him. They accused him of things that he could not possibly defend himself against. And folks, here we are 2 years later, because that term that he was running for was Jeff Sessions' position that he left. And so they had to fill it with a special election. And Democrat, believe it or not, through some cheating, by the way, Democrat Doug Jones won that Senate seat. A Democrat won that Senate seat. Now it's going to go Republican. Tommy Tuberville or Jeff Sessions is going to win that seat back. But they destroyed a godly man. 7%. Judge Roy Moore. That's 7%. Why is that? I'll tell you something, folks. It's not because Judge Roy Moore had sexual peccadilloes 30 years ago, 35 years. That's not what it is, right? No, no, no. It's because Christians cannot discern the truth. Christians cannot understand what's going on. You understand Alabama is full of Christians. And all it took was for the enemy to come in and throw some lies and some seeds, the Me Too movement, the Kavanaugh treatment. They do it to Judge Roy Moore and totally and completely destroyed that godly, honorable Christian man to the point where he gets 7%. 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. What does it say here, Coach? He got, as the latest results, Tommy Tuberville had 224,000. Roy Moore had 46,000 votes.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I hear you, but I think there's one little thing that you've got wrong in what you just told us. The Christians did vote for Roy Moore. That's the 7%.
Gotcha. Thanks, Larry. But here's what I want you to know. It's coming to a theater near you. Okay? Coming to a theater near you. When you begin to step out and lift up the name of Jesus and don't bow to the government just because the government says that they are the Lord, just because government says they are God, when you step in and you try to oppose the government, let me tell you something, these same jackals are coming down on you. You better count the cost. Count the cost. Judge Roy Moore, he can retire. He can go do whatever he wants to do now. He can go live his life. He is a modern day Patrick Henry. And nobody liked Judge Roy Moore in all of America. Nobody liked him. He stood twice, gave up his career twice for what was right, twice. And look what the Republican Party did to him. He was on an interview with Rob Pugh last week, and he told us, Rob and I were kind of did the interview together. He told us that the Republican Party just had totally deserted him. He was the most popular political figure in Alabama. 7%. Oh, boy, the devil's a liar. I don't mind the devil being a liar. I mind the fact that Christians aren't smart enough to figure out what's going on. Got Alex Newman with us here today. Folks say, who's Alex Newman? Well, I got to know Alex. I don't know Alex. I've admired Alex from afar, watched a lot of his stuff, especially in regards to education, although he gets into a lot more than that. But I was connected to Alex by my good friend Tom Munns, who lives in Boise, Idaho, and had a conversation with Alex and studied some of his stuff. And, of course, we all understand that we will not win this battle for America if we do not retake the education of our children. Now, some of you want to tune out right now because you're tired of hearing it. You're tired of hearing it because you have got yourself into a financial situation where both the husband and the wife have to work. You've got yourself in that situation. So therefore, you take your children and you send them into a public education system that you pay for that teaches almost nothing that you agree with. And the interview we showed yesterday or 2 days ago about Alex, that Alex did with the former superintendent of Arizona Public Schools, talking about no phonics, all right, no education, no history education, certainly no history education going on in America. And we think it's just the fact that the liberals, whatever that term would mean, the progressive, have seized the education of our children. But, folks, it's worse than that. I saw this, interesting, elections just released. Bernie is getting the votes of all the young folk. Hey, do you hear me? Bernie's getting the vote of the young folks. I wonder how that happened. I wonder how mom and dad figured out you have to work to earn a living, and the young kids are thinking that everything should be free because the world should be fair. I wonder how that's happening. Hey, Alex, come on in here a minute. Jared, maybe you can throw up there the website, the New American, because that's who Alex is associated with. Hey, Alex, tell me that I'm wrong here, brother. What's going on, bud?
Thanks. Hey, Coach Dave. Thank you so much. Can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah, we got you great.
Excellent. You know, you're exactly right, Coach Dave. And, you know, I think for Christians, this should almost be self-evident, right? I mean, the Bible tells us that there's the kingdom of God and then there's the kingdom of darkness. And, you know, we are supposed to not be part of the world. If you read the Bible, it's very, very clear who's in charge of education. You can read it any which way you want. You'll never see any delegation of authority over education to Caesar. And yet Christians come up with all these excuses to send their children to public school. Oh, well, you know, they need to be missionaries in the public school. You know, we know that there's spiritual warfare going on, right? And we're going to send our children to the enemy to be trained, and we think that they're going to go be salt and light in the school. I mean, frankly, I'm sorry, but it's ridiculous.
We don't even train the adults to be salt and light, right?
That's right.
The kids are going to go do that, right?
That's exactly right, Coach. And, you know, one of the things we did at the New American, we put together a special report last year for those who are watching. You should be able to see it on the screen right now. It's called Rescuing Our Children. And so what we did, we wanted to put it all together in a comprehensive but cheap and simple package for people. So we cover the history. You know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, they try to take it out of context. They say, oh, well, you know, the Pilgrims started local community schools and therefore, you know, public schools are great. No. Okay, that was a totally different thing when a group of parents in a town got together and hired a teacher to teach their children to read so they could read the Bible. And that's exactly what the Pilgrims were doing. You know, if you look at the school system we have today, if you look at the history, it was created and developed to a man by people who hate God, by people who hate the Bible, by people who want to turn America, fundamentally transform America, to quote a certain Barack Hussein Obama. And this is well documented. This is not a secret. You don't have to go, you know, do a lot of research to figure it out. They'll tell you to your face. And then we're surprised when we send our children to public school and 80% of them, after 12 years of government brainwashing, leave the church. Then we're surprised when 70% of millennials, according to the latest polls, describe themselves as socialists. We shouldn't be surprised.
Voting for them, right?
That's exactly.
I saw this in the last election, in the Trump election, that something like 65% of people my age, I'm 67, 65% of us voted for Trump. But Alex, the same number, 65% of our grandchildren, children and grandchildren, voted for Hillary. So they are. So our young kids are canceling out the vote of their grandpas. There's a real, real transformation that's taking place.
That's exactly right, Coach. And what I'm trying to impress upon people is, like, look, you know, all these political battles we're fighting are very important. You know, we've got to be involved in the fight for life. We've got to be involved in the fight to restrain the size and the scope of government. We've got to be in the fight to, you know, reduce taxes and protect free speech and protect religious liberty. And, you know, all these things are very important. But if we look at this objectively and realistically, we need to realize we are going to lose every single one of those battles if we continue sending 87% of our children to be brainwashed by government, which is teaching them to be socialists, which is teaching them to reject God, which is teaching them to hate what God has ordained. I mean, if you want to know what the public schools are teaching, just flip everything in the Bible exactly upside down and you'll get a good idea of what they're doing. And they're very good at it now. You know, they've been practicing for 100 years. They are masters at changing your children's attitudes, values, beliefs. And that's why children are running around wanting to mutilate their genitals and become a new gender. That's why children are running around wanting to vote for Bernie Sanders and take away everybody's guns. This is where this is going over the long term.
Is David Arthur in here with us today, David? I spoke a little bit to David. Was at Worthington Kilborn High School yesterday. I had a great talk with him. David, by the way, Alex, people who listen to our show know David Arthur is a guy who lived 30 years as a woman. And now has been radically saved and has come out and is fighting against this this whole agenda. And I was hoping maybe he would be in here and tell us a little bit about his experience yesterday, because he went into a school, Alex, and that is trying to counter that alphabet agenda is almost impossible. Jeff, I know you went in with him. Could you tell us a little
morning,
bit about
Coach.
David, could you just come in, because this is going to support what Alex is talking about, David. The infiltration of the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ agenda into the schools. Alex just mentioned that, and David, it's real, is it not?
It's absolutely real, Coach. You know, one thing that I always know when I get to go into that, into Worthington Kilborn, is that when I talk to them about being set free from homosexuality and transgenderism, and when I talk to them about how it's just a choice and a behavior, they really look at me like I'm kind of crazy. And when I tell them that I'm a gay man now that loves women because I'm happy, they really look at me like I'm crazy, because they totally do not believe that gay means happy. They've been indoctrinated. They've been totally, like, just bamboozled. And some of them get so upset that they break out in tears. They break out in a rash right in front of you. The one last year, what he ran, he got up and ran out of the class, you know. And So when I was in there yesterday, it was so clear that they all have an emotional attachment to somebody who is trapped in this delusion of homosexuality or transgenderism. And so that's what I was really addressing. And when I addressed it, I said, you know what? It happens because of trauma. I was molested. I was broken, didn't have a father. And that's why I ended up on the path that I ended up on, because I chose it. I chose those behaviors. And a young lady came up to me at the end of the class and said, you're so right. She says, I was molested. She said, and I remember getting to the crossroad where I could have chose to be with a woman. That was one of my mental options, but I chose drugs instead. She says, and now I'm clean, and now I'm getting help, and I just want you to know that you're right, you're spot on. Please don't ever stop telling people Amen. This. You know, and so it was amazing. And then listen to Alex, is, you know, I said something the last Sunday at Pastor Bill's church. I said, you know, all you parents, your children know that you love them. Your children know that you want nothing but the best for them. So when you send them to this institution to receive something, they're going to receive it. So when they receive it and they come home bit by bit, well, today we learned that we came from pond scum and we came from apes. And you tell them, no, you didn't. You were created. You have a creator. And then tomorrow they come home and they say, well, guess what? Today we learned all about the wonderful, peaceful, joyful religion of Islam. And you're like, no. Let me tell you about these terrorists, these murderers. And then they come home and say, well, today I'm gender fluid and you're going to call me they, them, zer, and all these other pronouns. And then you say no again. And you, the parent, look like the hypocrite to the child because you sent them to receive this. And now that they received it, you're telling them that it's wrong. And so you're the hypocrite as a parent for putting them in that little yellow school bus to hell in the first place. You know, I mean, give up. Car, give up the camp, give up the four-wheeler.
So, Alex, this is by design. This isn't, go ahead. Alex, do you think the average parent has any idea the indoctrination has taken place in our schools? Go ahead and run off on that one a bit.
Well, you know, I know they don't, Coach, and thank you for that testimony. I mean, it's so true. You know, the homosexual agenda, one of the things I've been traveling across the country and really across the world now talking about this issue, and one of the things I do is I show videos to parents to show them what's going on, and one of the videos I show is a documentary that was produced by some homosexuals back in the early 1990s, and this was shown in government indoctrination centers posing as schools all over the country, first grade, second grade, third grade. It's called, it's elementary, talking to children about gay issues at school. And in this documentary, there's a homosexual teacher, and he's talking to a classroom full of children. He says, all right, kids, today we're going to do a very special exercise. We're going to be pretend judges, and we're going to decide whether these bans that prevent loving gay people from marrying each other are okay or not. Right, this is in the early 1990s. Sodomy was still a crime across most of the United States. That didn't get struck down until 2001. So they're brainwashing little children. It took one generation for these little kids who were so brainwashed to believe that we could be pretend judges. So then the Supreme Court could go ahead and the pretend judges on the Supreme Court could go ahead and strike down our marriage laws. And, you know, you asked if parents understand that this is happening. I think by and large, the answer is no, Coach, but that doesn't absolve them of responsibility. These are your children you're talking about. You're sending them to be with somebody for 7 or 8 hours a day, for 5 days a week, for at least 12 years. You know, you wouldn't let a stranger come off the street into your house and talk to your kids, especially if it was a transgender, you know, whatever. And yet you do that with your kids.
Take them on a field trip, right? You wouldn't let them do that. Cook food, take them on a field trip.
Exactly.
No.
And so parents, you have a duty, you have a responsibility to know these things. You know, I'm going to try to tell everybody about it, but what are you doing trusting your children to people before you've even done some research, before you know what's going on? And I love what the gentleman said earlier. You know, parents act surprised when the kids actually absorb what they're being taught. You know, parents say, go to school and you know, do what the teacher tells you and learn and all that. And they come home and they did learn and they do what the teacher tells them. And suddenly we tell them, no, that's stupid. You shouldn't believe that. Well, right. Guess what? You're the one who sent them there. So
Yeah, we send them to school and say, listen, don't believe the non-Christian part because right. you're in Sunday school and you know the right from wrong, but that other stuff, that's okay. And by the way, get good grades, get all the answers right so you can get in even to a better indoctrination center that will pay $20,000 a year for you to go and have your brainwashed. But again, Alex, take us back a little bit. This has not happened by accident.
No, it hasn't.
Deep state, right, brother? There's an educational deep state.
There absolutely is. And, you know, and I think if you want to understand the deep state, first and foremost, you got to consult the Bible. And, you know, I always go to Ephesians 6:12 because Paul just explains perfectly what we're dealing with. We're not even just wrestling with against flesh and blood. We're talking about powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're ultimately dealing with. We are dealing with evil. And of course, evil is a person, right? And if you look at the history of the public school system, there's no question about who designed it and created it, okay? The very first guy to advocate a government takeover of education, his name was Robert Owen. He was a communist before communism was cool, even before Karl Marx. He actually set up a communist commune in Indiana. It failed miserably, obviously, because communism is unbiblical and ungodly and stupid. But he got the totally wrong idea. He said, oh, it failed because we didn't brainwash the children starting at age two. That's what he thought was needed to create kind of collectivize, you know, what the Soviets would later call the new Soviet man. So that failed. And he wrote these essays saying, you know, the government ought to take over education. And everybody who looked at it said, yeah, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. Parents ought to be in charge of education. And maybe we'll have, you know, a teacher to help us out. And then the Prussians picked it up. The Prussian dictatorship looked at these essays that Robert Owen wrote and thought, hey, that's a good idea. Let's set one of those up. It made it mandatory for parents to send their children to be brainwashed at a government school. Horace Mann, another socialist, another utopian, another humanist, who rejected the Bible, of course, he was a Unitarian, brought this to Massachusetts in the mid-1800s. From Massachusetts, this cancer spread across the country. And then around the turn of the century, late 1800s, early 1900s, John Dewey came along. And anybody you talk to who's been to a college of education knows all about John Dewey. This is like the founding father of our public school system. And we don't have to speculate about what he believed. He rejected God. He rejected the Bible. And he boldly proclaimed his rejection of God in the Bible. He actually wrote, he was one of the co-signers and authors of the first Humanist Manifesto. And I challenge anybody to go read this document and tell me you want to send your children to a school created by the guy who created this document. Very first plank. We religious humanists believe the universe is self-existing and not created, right? Right off the bat, they're contradicting the first words in God's word. In the beginning, God created, right? So right off the bat, we reject God. We think the universe is self-existing. And you know, even if you're not a Bible-believing Christian, that has enormous implications for our liberty too, right? The founding fathers didn't say, if you study the Bible really hard, you'll realize that our rights come from God. They said it's a self-evident truth that we were created and that we're endowed by our creator with certain inalienable rights. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to recognize that God gave you a right to life. God gave you a right to liberty. God gave you a right to property. And so John Dewey and his cohorts completely rejected this. John Dewey went over to the Soviet Union. He loved what Vladimir Lenin was doing. He celebrated how they were instilling a collectivistic mentality in children. So this has been the plan all along, Dave. We've got a history article in here. And now, you know, I don't know how much time we have, but if you look at where this, So if you look at where this is going today, you know, the United Nations now has an enormous role in education. They actually have what they call a world core curriculum. They think it should be taught in every school. You can read it right on the UN Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization's website. And the guy who wrote this world core curriculum, which, again, they want in every school on the planet, he wrote a teacher's manual to go with this curriculum. And if you open it up, you can probably get a copy at your local library. He says right there that these standards are based on the teachings of Alice Bailey and the Tibetan teacher Zhuval Kul. Robert Mueller, there you go, the Undersecretary General of the UN who wrote the World Core Curriculum. Now, to most Americans, the name Alice Bailey means nothing, right? Absolutely nothing. But to everyone who's in leadership at the United Nations, they know exactly what that means. Alice Bailey was the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company. Okay, that should tell you what you need to know. She also claimed to be in communication with what she described as ascended masters. These are spiritual beings that she said would take over her body and write these books for her. You know, as a Christian, you know, it's quite obvious we're talking about demons here. And you can read the books she wrote, right? She had one called Education in the New Age. And she said the goal is a world federation with a world brain where we're going to synthesize Marxism and neo-scholasticism using the methods of John Dewey. So, you know, it all comes full circle. It's very clear what they're doing. They are destroying our children mentally, spiritually, physically. And America, freedom, our churches are not going to survive. And, you know, we know the church is going to survive until the end. We know the gates of hell will not prevail. But guess what? In America, it is going down very, very quickly. And unfortunately, Christians are to blame. We've allowed this to happen to ourselves. So,
amen. Amen. Let me open it up. Anybody got a question for Alex here? Alex, there'll be a little bit of a delay. Give him a second here. Somebody? Sure. Yeah.
So
hey, Coach, Alex, yeah. Could you to the we're caught in this right-left paradigm, and 30 years ago, McManus did a great video on what left and right really is, because we think about it wrong, and which is why we're always fighting the wrong battles.
Yeah, well, thank you for bringing that up. And, you know, they did a very clever trick, and this is what they'll teach the children in school, right? Right-wingers are Hitler and fascists like Mussolini, and then left-wingers are, you know, Castro, Stalin, you know, Mao, people like that. So you have socialist tyrants on the right, and you have socialist tyrants on the left, and so you want to be somewhere in the moderate middle. You want to be a less extreme form of socialist, right? But what McManus pointed out in Overview of America is that this is an idiotic political spectrum. Really, what you should have is on the right, no government, on the left, total government. And then, you know, moderate middle should be people like our founding fathers who believed we should have some government, as the Bible explains, right? Should wield the sword to punish evil. But we don't want government running every aspect of our lives. We don't want government telling us how we pray. We don't want government educating our children, right? Things like this. And so that's a very important insight. I'm glad you brought it up. You know, we are in a very real sense, when we're trapped in this fake left-right paradigm, completely fighting the wrong battles. So,
well, I'll say that again, Alex. So the right would have been anarchy, no government, far right, and then far left would be total government control. And so right. They played those two against each other and sort of give us what we have now. And I was looking at a meme somebody posted on Facebook just as I was going down there this morning. Alex, there really isn't anything in America anymore that you can do without getting permission from somebody.
That's right. And, you know, and it's going to get worse. You know, it's going to keep moving in this direction unless and until God intervenes or God's people wake up and say, hey, no more of this. We're not going to tolerate it anymore. This is not the role of government. This is not a responsibility of government. This is a responsibility of the family or of the church. You know, God created different spheres of authority. And as government usurps control over everything, it's going to get increasingly totalitarian, increasingly unpleasant. And unless and until we do something, and I really think that begins with rescuing our children from, as Donald Trump called it in the 2020 State of the Union speech, the failing government schools. Right? The president has spoken out about this repeatedly. He said on the campaign trail, they're not educating our kids. The progressives at the Department of Education are indoctrinating our children. Unless and until we deal with that, it's going to keep getting worse.
Now, Alex, we are making some progress. By the way, somebody else get ready to come in here in a second. Because Donald Trump was the first American president I ever heard call them government schools. Do you remember the day, Alex, when you would say that and people would look at you like you were kind of crazy, right? But now we've gone from public schools to government schools because that's really what they are. And it's important that we use the proper words. You agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, public schools gives this misleading image of, you know, like a community school that the local community is in charge of. No such thing, right? No such thing. Now, today, public schools, government schools in America are controlled from Washington, D.C., and also, you know, a huge role for the United Nations. So we really should stop mislabeling them as public schools, and we should call them what they are. You know, I call them government indoctrination centers, and that's really what they are.
When I was in school, we had a farmer was on the school board and a local guy was the butcher at the local meat store. I remember all those guys, right? The librarian. I mean, we had actually had citizens who made the determination what was going to go on in the schools. And now they're just yes men for policies and procedures that are brought down from on high. Somebody come on in.
Yeah, Alex, this is Jeff in Fallon, Nevada. I go to school board meetings and the mindset of the elected officials depends so much on the superintendent. What do you have advice to wake them up, to understand relying on the superintendent because she's a doctorate, The superintendent has a doctorate, and she's wise in administration, but they depend on her so much. It seems like they cannot think for themselves. What do you think?
Great question, Jeff. Great question. What would you say there, Alex? That is so true, buddy. That is so true, because we're taught today that the school board's job is to support the superintendent. That's the way schools really are being run. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, thank you for that question. And, you know, I would say one of the best things a person can do is get this into the hands of school officials. I can't tell you how many public school teachers, school board members, superintendents, principals, assistant principals have read this or have come to one of my talks and said, oh my goodness, you're right. We've got to do something. Thank you for talking about this. So people can get copies of this. You can order them in bulk if you want. Go to thenewamerican.com/rescuingourchildren. You can get them, I think, for as low as a dollar if you buy them in bulk. And we're hoping to get a million copies out. But really, you know, for a lot of people, it's just connecting the dots. You know, they don't quite understand what's going on. And you connect the dots for them and they say, oh, now I get it. Okay, and we've seen tremendous things. Apparently, Coach aired an interview I did recently with the former superintendent of public instruction in Arizona. You know, people are waking up. There's a lot of people. I can't tell you how many members of school boards, state school boards, and local school boards have contacted me, thanking me for this information and for putting it all together like this. Because you know, the truth is a really powerful tool. And it's you can get it for real cheap. It's got, you know, everything they need to know about the history, about, you know, we use the government's own data to prove that the kids are not getting any kind of reasonable education. In fact, the government's own data shows they can't do math, they can't read, they can't write, they can't do much of anything except tell you every one of the new 55,000 genders and, you know, the climate belongs that we're all going to die unless we let the UN run our lives. So I would recommend get this information to the school board members, get it to the local community, and get it to the superintendent. Amen. And the elders. That's right, Coach.
Buy one and get it to your pastor.
Hey Coach. Yep. Hey, Coach. Pastor here. Pastor Dale. Yep. Homeschooler, get your kids out of that. You can't send your children to a Roman citizen school and expect them not to be little Roman citizens when they come home. And then when you're done with that, then, like right now, I'm in Texas with my son, David. He's my apprentice. Guess what? I'm teaching and continuing to train him to make a living for himself. Wow. We need to get our kids out of the public school, Coach.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Coach, that brings about what you started with, is that most families, both are working, unlike Dale, who's got this lifestyle he developed, and a lot of others who homeschool. But most of the people who want to do something are trapped. And I mean, think about the whole income system and how do they go about it? Is there instruction on the step-by-step? If you're both earning, the biblical family is together at home learning about God. But those two things are so far apart. So people give up. What do? Yeah. They put their kids on the bus the next morning and give up. How do you coach those people?
Well, first of all, let me jump in before you get in here. Over taxation, of course, we've got to talk about that. How about tax dollars following children to Christian schools? That would be another one. Alex, you're the expert. How would you respond to Mark?
Yeah, thank you very much for the question. In fact, we just launched a new ministry to help parents in that situation. It's called Public School Exit. You can find it at publicschoolexit.com. And our goal is going to be to facilitate this mass exodus. So you're right. A lot of parents now have gotten trapped where they think they both need to work. And the reality is, I don't think that's a biblical model. I think God will bless the parents who take a step out in faith. And you know what? A lot of times what you'll find once you lose one income, first of all, you lose a lot of expenses, right? Suddenly, maybe you don't need two cars with two sets of insurance. Maybe you don't need to put the kids in daycare, right? I know some moms where 80% of the salary goes to put the kids in daycare. Right. Are you kidding me? Stay home with your children and keep that money. And then when your income taxes come around, right, you've got some children who are dependents. If you've got two incomes, you're going to send the federal government a big check. If you've got one income and three or four or five, six, eight children at home, suddenly you don't have to send the government a big check at the end of the year. And you know what? It's true. It's outrageous. I spend more money brainwashing other people's children through my local property taxes than I spend homeschooling my own group of children. And I've got a bunch of children, and it costs money to homeschool them. And yet I homeschool them for less money than it costs me to pay my property tax so that other people's children will be brainwashed. So What I say is, first of all, you got to look at your finances. Do you guys have two new cars? Do you have a vacation home to go skiing in Colorado? Do you take a 2-week vacation to Disney World every year? Find places where you can cut expenses. If that means doing your shopping at Goodwill to put clothes in your kids, do it. Goodness gracious, what's more important than the minds, the souls, the hearts of your children? Is it having nice new clothes? Is it having a vacation at Disney World? You got to get your priorities straight. And I tell people, we live in one of the richest societies that has ever existed in human history. Our ancestors 3,000 years ago, you know, mountain goat herders living in mud huts, they could homeschool their children and they didn't complain about, oh, we need 2 incomes. What are we going to do? So if they could do it, we can do it in this society. And I tell people, God blesses it when you obey God's instructions as he laid them out in the Bible. God will bless that. God will provide a way. You just got to have faith. You got to do it. And for those who can't, you know, we recognize there are still some people, single mom, you know, maybe the husband's a deadbeat and ran off some other woman. You know, it happens from time to time, and we won't deny that it does. There are some people who legitimately, from a financial perspective, can't do it. That's where we want to step in and help out. So we're creating a scholarship fund. We're creating partnerships with private schools. So, you know, single mom, husband ran off, working 2 jobs, wants to get the kids into a good Christian school. Hey, we'll find a way to make it work, right? Maybe we'll put up a third of the money. The Christian school will put up a third of the money, and the mom will put up a third of the money. We'll find a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. And people, we've got to get our kids out of the system.
Why do you think nobody has come up with the idea, which I just kind of casually mentioned, but I really, really believe it. As a Christian, why wouldn't my government tax dollars, my local property taxes, follow my child? So if I want to put my child into a Christian education, why does the government get to keep my money for public education when my children are not going to the public schools? Why has nobody picked that up and run with that idea, Alex? Or have they, and it hasn't worked?
Yeah, it's a very good question, Coach Dave. And, you know, I would throw out one word of caution on that because, you know, I've been overseas almost all my life. Most of the last 10 years I was in Scandinavia, and in Sweden, what the government did was they said, hey, you know, we should have a school choice program where you know, the taxpayer will pay for any kind of education you want. So if you want to send your kids to Christian school, then, you know, the tax dollars will go there. And what they did in 2012 was it was kind of like a mousetrap, right? The free money was the cheese. And all the private schools came and grabbed the cheese. And then as soon as they grabbed it, the mousetrap shut. And now in 2012, the government passed a law saying all the schools that take government money must teach the government curriculum, must prohibit the Bible, must prohibit prayer. And they banned homeschooling in the same legislation so that then there were no more escape routes. And, you know, Virginia does have a really good program. Virginia is one example I use because in Virginia, the government doesn't get your money. You can write off your taxes and you can put that money in a private scholarship fund. It never goes through the government. And then from that scholarship fund, you write it off your taxes and it can go fund a scholarship for a child to go to a private Christian school. And
that's great info. Yep. That's great info. We need more info like that of what we can do. That's what I was looking for. Yep.
Mark lives in Virginia, so that'd be very appropriate for him. Somebody else try to come in?
I'm going to tell you, Keith Neumeier.
Oh. Yes, sir.
Yeah, my wife and I had sent both our kids to Christian school, and as a result of that, we were targeted by by CPS, and the caseworker came in, found that took the kids. And I know you, Alex, I think you've heard about this from Caleb Stokes out here. He's your representative out here in this part of the country. And so you know of other families being targeted because they sent their kids to Christian school?
They adopted children. They put them in Christian school. The government didn't like that too much. The children's services didn't like it, and it's caused a real headache for Keith and his family. What would you say to that, Alex?
Yeah, and you know, I think that's going to be a growing problem, Coach and Keith. You know, it hasn't been as big a problem yet. You know, in America, we've been pretty blessed with the freedom that we have. But I think they're going to start escalating those attacks. You know, for homeschoolers, one of the things I would recommend is joining one of the associations that will step in and protect you. There's a few. For homeschoolers in particular, there's the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. You know, $10 a month membership. If you get any problem with the government over your homeschooling, including CPS, come in and ask questions. They will represent you every step of the way. Even if it goes into court, they will litigate for you. There's another one called the Heritage Program, where they will defend you against unjust CPS intrusions into your life. You know, and the reality is, I think as we go further down this road that we're traveling on, I think homeschoolers, Christians, people who send their children to Christian school are going to become increasing targets. You said at the beginning of the program, Coach, you need to count the costs. You know, we need to recognize that America is becoming increasingly hostile to Christians, and we are going to face persecution. You know, Jesus told us, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. So we are going to face troubles. God told us we're going to face troubles. But we need to be bold. We need to be courageous. I'm really sorry to hear about that, Keith. And, you know, good luck to you guys in your struggle. Good luck to you guys in your fight. And to other parents out there, you know, don't let that deter you. But, you know, do have that in the back of your mind. You need to have preparations for those kinds of things. And you should take steps in advance. Get involved with one of the legal associations that can help protect you. And, you know, do what's right for your kids.
Somebody else.
Yeah, we learned.
Go ahead, Keith.
Oh, we learned the hard way that after that happens, then the then it's too late to get involved in the homeschooler thing. And if your kids are in private school, I think there was an issue there too with the homeschool defense fund.
Yeah, we're behind the eight ball on all these issues. We gotta bone up here and do it quickly. Somebody else come in.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I know you've been talking about public education and like elementary, junior high, and high school. But, you know, there's a lot of great parents out there that the kids survive that, but then we send them off to university. Oh. And they get indoctrinated there, too. So it's just
Alex, the government has seized that whole system. The higher up you get, the more wicked it becomes.
That's exactly right. You know, a good colleague, a friend of mine who actually worked with us on this special report, Dr. Duke Pesta, he calls the universities now like little mini North Koreas, right? It's like these little socialist enclaves where everybody's socialist and they'll persecute you for having any, you know, contrary opinion. And that's the God's honest truth. That's where this is all heading. There are still some colleges out there that are decent, that are Christian, that don't take government money. You know, I know of a few off the top of my head, and I'm sure there's others. So, you know, I would encourage parents, if your kids have to go to college, those are good alternatives.
Hillsdale College.
That's a good one. Yep. And you got New St. Andrews up in Idaho. So there's a number of these good Christian schools that refuse to accept government money. And I would say that's, you know, a good indicator, right? If they're taking government money, there's a good chance they're in bed with government, and there's a good chance they're going to be indoctrinating your children. And this is true not just of you know, public universities. One of the new articles we added in our expanded second edition of this Rescuing Our Children is the fact that a lot of the private Christian schools have now become little replicas of the public school system. And this is true at the college level, too. So parents need to be discerning when they're choosing a school. You know, just because it says Christian school, you know, do your due diligence. Are they using government school textbooks? Are they teaching your kids that they came from pond scum over a billion years with no God, right? Are they teaching these kinds of absurd lies to the children? And if they are, you got to find a different alternative. So,
Alex, I spent a second career as coaching at a Christian school. And boy, was that ever an eye-opening experience, brother, because in my experience, most people sent their kids to the Christian school to have them protected, not to make them deeper Christians, if you understand what I'm saying, right? They thought if they got them out of the government schools, they get them away from some of those evil influences, and they put them into this Christian education, which is really nothing more than just it's just more government schooling, right? They just had Christian on the name of it, because every parent wants their kids to get into Harvard and Yale and the best schools, so that's the curriculum that gets them in there. So it's a trap everywhere you look. Somebody else.
Yeah, let me jump in here. I want to talk about the psychological approach to these behavioral control centers. These the psych diagnoses are handed out like water with these kids, and the idea is to get as many of these kids with a psych diagnosis and on meds as possible across the boards. A lot of times you'll have almost complete classrooms or areas of the school environment set up just to deal with the mass behavioral problems of these kids. And now we're at a point that we've never seen kids. The kids are behaving in ways never before seen in human history. So what would you say to those comments?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely correct. And in fact, this is one of the things we talked about extensively in a book that I wrote a few years ago with Dr. Samuel Blumenfeld called Crimes of the Educators, How Utopians Are Using Government Schools to Destroy America's Children. Now, in this book, you know, we talk about, for example, why most of the kids today can't read. But another thing we talk about is, you know, first of all, they dumb down and confuse the children. This is very, very deliberate. In fact, a Soviet psychologist figured out a lot of this stuff. You know, you can confuse and scramble kids' brains and then they act out in weird ways. They become easier to manipulate and program. You add to that the financial incentive that we have in the United States. You know, the schools have an actual financial incentive from the state and federal governments to get as many of these kids as possible with some sort of label. So they dumb them down. They give them a reading handicap. They're unable to do math. And then they act out. They feel stupid. Why am I in this classroom? Why doesn't anything go my way? This is boring. This is dumb. I don't understand it. And then what happens? They say, oh, you must have some sort of mental problem. We're going to put you on amphetamines, or we're going to put you on, you know, antipsychotic drugs or whatever. This messes up the children even further. And so what happens? You have kids running around that are ticking time bombs, right? If you read the warning labels on a lot of these medicines, you know, suicide, homicidal ideation, you know, a lot of these kids that go shoot up the school, they've been brainwashed. They've been put on these psychotropic drugs. It's an enormous, enormous problem. And, you know, again, this is another thing that you can protect your children from by pulling them out of the system. If the public school doesn't have them, they can't dumb them down. They can't get them confused. They can't give them all these behavioral issues, and they can't label them with some kind of quack psychological, psychiatric diagnosis and start shoving pills down their throat. So, you know, it's a huge problem. It's destroying children, absolutely destroying mentally, physically, spiritually. And I'm glad you mentioned it. We talked about it a lot. And I think parents need to be very aware about this.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say real quick, I think there's two ways you get into the homeschooling. One is you get out of your 2,800 square foot house, you get into a 1,200 square foot house.
Yep.
You get out of two brand new cars, you get into two old cars. It's not real hard. Second thing is, and Dave, we talked about this, grandma and grandpa have got to stop going to Florida for 6 months out of the year and having fun. They need to be much more grandkids' education. And it's not that hard to do.
No, that's right. That's right. Invest. Well, so Alex, we got about 10 minutes left here. To piggyback off Roger, what Roger said, we can go on and on and on with the evidences that the public schools are destroying not only our children, it's destroying the direction of our nation. What are some practical things that parents can do? A lot of people in here are parents, but they're also grandparents. Many of them, Alex, are what we call church dropouts. They were in church, but they've had it with the entire church system. And I continually say that the solution to the problem is every church become a school. Yes. What do they call it? Co-op, homeschool co-ops. Every day, the church building ought to be open for kids to come so they associate in their mind the church and education. It goes the same direction. Help us out with some solutions, Alex.
You know, I love what you just said, Coach David. That is one of the things that we have been advocating for a long time. In fact, I work very closely with, I'm a teacher at the Freedom Project Academy. It's an online K-12 Christian school, and we partner with churches across America. We will set up a school in your church for almost no money, right? You just need a few computers and an adult to supervise the children. We will bring the school right to you. You don't got to do anything, right? You got a building sitting open 5-6 days a week. Nobody's doing anything with it. We'll set up a school there. Alternatively, you could set up your own school. Or if your church is too small, get together with 10 other pastors and all of you together set up a Christian school, right? One of the ways, one of the guys working on this project with us, E. Ray Moore, founder of Exodus Mandate, he uses the Dunkirk metaphor, right? British troops were on the beaches at Dunkirk, completely surrounded by Adolf Hitler's National Socialists, on the verge of being eliminated, destroyed, eradicated off the face of the earth. And that would have meant that Britain would have fallen. And so what did the British people do? They got on their knees and they prayed first and foremost. They said, God, you know, please help us to rescue our fighting men so that we can live to fight another day. And then they put every resource in their society at the disposal of this rescue operation. Anything that could float went across the English Channel to go rescue those boys, bring them back to the British Isles so they could fight another day. And guess what? It worked. Now, we need to be thinking in those terms about our children. Our children are surrounded by maniacs. They're about to be destroyed. Amen. Every resource in the body of Christ needs to be put at the disposal of getting those children out. Yeah, we got to do missions. Yeah, we got to feed the poor. but we got to protect our own children. So your school is, your church is sitting open 5 days a week. Get a school going in there. Get a co-op going in there. Grandparents, you're sitting around playing shuffleboard and bingo, you know, 4 days a week. Get involved in your grandchildren's education, right? And I love what the previous gentleman mentioned, you know, and we live by this too. If you're driving two new cars and you're living in a giant house in a wonderful neighborhood in a gated community and you're, you know, spending all this money on stuff, what are you doing that for? And then sending your kids to public school, right? I mean, if you're a multimillionaire and you got the money to do it, fine. But most of us aren't. And that might mean, hey, you know, both of my cars are 20 years old. And that's just fine. They drive just as well as any other car. My house is small. And that's okay. I tell people I'd sooner live in a cardboard box than send my kids to be indoctrinated and destroyed in a public school. And that's the God's honest truth. And so once we've protected our own kids, once we've protected our grandkids, then I say to people, help us get the word out. You know, once parents know the truth, they can no longer say, oh, well, you know, I don't know what's going on, so I don't care. So get some copies of this, thenewamerican.com/rescuingourchildren. Get 20, get 30, give them to your pastor, give them to the elders at your church, give them to your neighbors, and help us raise awareness. You know, we don't need to get all the kids out of the school to protect the church and to protect our country and to protect our liberty. I think of Gideon, right? God used Gideon and 300 men to defeat a massive enemy army. Why did he do that? Because he wanted the glory for himself. So we don't need 51% of our children out of the public schools, but what we do need is a solid core, a remnant of faithful Christians who will stand for the truth, who will stand for what's right. And God can use that. God will bless that to help and protect our nation if he chooses to do so. And if we choose to participate. So, you know, I can't think of anything more urgent, Coach. And I'll close with one more analogy or metaphor, if you will. You know, I think of the schools as like a burning building, right? If the school was on fire, you wouldn't start a, you know, petition. You wouldn't create a committee. You wouldn't run for school board. You would run in there and you would grab your child and you'd run in the other direction. And then you'd tell all the other parents, hey, guys, school is burning. Get your kids out, right? And then once the kids are out, once they're safe, then we can discuss what we do about the burning building. But we've got to get the priorities right. The first priority is to protect the kids. Then we'll worry about the burning building. Then we'll worry about school board elections and petitions and committees and all the rest of it. So, you know, I think parents need to think of the schools as burning buildings, but it's even more serious, right? It's not just the physical well-being of children that's under threat. It's the physical, the mental, the academic, the spiritual, the intellectual well-being of children that's under threat. And so how much more urgent is it for you to get in there, grab your kids and run in the other direction? I mean, do it now, right? You wouldn't wait until the end of the school year if the school building was burning, right? Get in there, do it now, tonight. Talk to your kids. Hey, guys, you're not going back to public school again tomorrow. We're going to do something different. I don't care how we're going to, you know, we're going to find a way to do it and then help raise awareness. That's what I would say, Coach.
Okay, Alex, let me drag you back here a second then. What are a couple of the programs that you mentioned that would be? Because I think really think for a lot of parents, they think, how can I do it? I'm not a trained teacher. What a lie that is, right? What are some resources that you offered? And you said, go to your pastor, take this program to your pastor. What would that be, Alex?
Yeah, it's one option among many. So we have a school called the Freedom Project Academy. You can find that online at fpeusa.org. That's fpeusa.org. It's a very cost-effective school. It's an accredited K-12 school. There, you got the website up right there. We've got, I think, about 800 kids now in about 15 different countries. Phenomenal education at a very affordable price. It's about $2,400 for a year. And, you know, for a lot of parents, that's a lot of money. But, hey, you know, it's certainly better than the alternative. And it's a fraction of what the government schools charge to brainwash the kids. So that's one option. There are other online schools out there. You know, Bob Jones University's got an online school now, Liberty University. There's a lot of options out there for different kinds of parents. You don't even need to necessarily be in something like this. But if you feel like you need some extra support, if you need, you know, some partners to help you out with this, that's one option. But I will say one more thing about this, Coach Dave. If you want to know the data, the data is crystal clear. It doesn't matter if you're a high school dropout. You will do a significantly better job educating your own children than the government schools will do. And the data speaks to this, and it's crystal clear. So go to National Home Education Resource Institute, or Research Institute, NHERI.org. They compile all of the academic data, the scholarly journals that come out about this. And what it shows is that even children from parents who don't even have a high school diploma, who are homeschooled, will do 30 to 40 percentage points better than victims of government schools on the government's own tests. Okay. So, you know, don't worry.
Not only that, to graduate with your values, maybe. Huh? That's right.
That's what God tells us. Train up the child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, right? If you let a bunch of pagan, godless, anti-Christian, anti-God government schools train up your child in the way that he should go, chances are pretty good that when he's old, he will not depart from that, right? Parents don't realize, you know, the government schools have your children for 3 to 4 times more than you have them, even if you're a very active parent, right? Even if you talk to your kids every day during dinner and every weekend you spend time with them, right? Sunday school is an hour a week. Compare that to 35 to 40 hours a week in a government school, right? There's no competition. So I tell parents who are worried about it, you know, don't worry. You could literally put your kid in a closet, you know, for 12 years and they'd be better off than sending them to a government school. And I say that only half jokingly because, you know, the government schools are designed to destroy them. So it's hard for you to do worse.
Amen. Hey, anybody, we got about 3 or 4 minutes.
Coach, I just want to say this, Joe. Let me go. I got to leave, and I just want to tell Alex this. Alex, you are making a huge difference. Keep doing what you're doing. You're excellent. It's quality, not quantity. Just keep speaking this. It's going to change things. You're great. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Amen. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Andy.
Go ahead, Joe. Amen.
Alex, this is Joseph down here in South Carolina. My wife and I live what you're talking about. And we searched for our church to see a church that did educate their children. And we're with the CPC Presbyterian. And we have Presbyterian churches around here that we use that Liberty education group. And we process our children through that. Plus, we do like Dale does, is we take our kids when they're of age to work with us. But that's why I'm saying that people do not give up, because there are resources out there, because my wife and I 10 years ago searched for this, and we had our children go through this.
Amen. You know, Alex, the resources the resources that are available today to, say, 10 years ago, 20 years ago for homeschoolers, you can go on the internet and find some of the most wonderful programs. And folks, let's be honest here. No matter what it is, you can go on YouTube and find some video that will talk about it. I learned how to repair my mower from going on a YouTube video. I mean, there's all kinds of this idea that you are not capable of educating your children. That is bunk, folks. That is bunk. And we've got to get beyond this idea. As a former public educator, Alex, this idea that people have in their head that you have to be trained to train your children, that is a lie from the pit, brother. The Lord Amen. Would not give you children if he hadn't equipped you to be able to train them up or raise them up in the way they should go. So closing thoughts here, Alex. We sure appreciate you being with us.
Hey, I sure appreciate you having me on, Coach. I've been a big fan for a long time. I appreciate so much everything that you do. And, you know, the fact that the other side constantly is attacking you, for me, that, you know, that is a perfect seal of approval, a great endorsement. So I just want to let you know, I really appreciate everything you're doing on behalf of God, on behalf of Liberty, on behalf of the church. Thank you to everybody who was on the call. And, you know, again, I'll just reiterate.
How do they get a hold of you, Alex?
Most of my articles appear at thenewamerican.com. I've got my personal Twitter is AlexNewman_JOU for journalism. On Facebook, I'm at AlexJNewman86. So it's Facebook/AlexJNewman86. My personal website is libertysentinel.org. Again, most of my articles appear at thenewamerican.com. And then I write a lot on education at the Freedom Project. So that's freedomproject.org. And I also write for the Epic Times, the Law Enforcement Intelligence, all kinds of different publications.
He's everywhere.
Yeah. Thank you, Coach Dave.
Sure. Robert, are you there? If you get, hey, Alex, you're going to enjoy this. Robert, finish this up with today's word.
Robert already left.
Oh, that was a good one. We'll come back to it.
No, I'm right. I'm here.
Go ahead, Robert. Finish this up with this. Alex, this is a part of a book that our friend has written called Finders, Keepers, Finders of Truth, Keepers of Faith. It's a daily devotional. We try to do it here every day. So hang in there with us as Robert reads this.
Wonderful.
Okay, March 4th. Every Christian preacher who belittles sin is speaking for the devil, the father of lies, who has sinned from the beginning.
Amen.
Now, title of the devotion is A Christian is a Work in Progress. God is fully capable to weave our forgiven and forsaken sin-ridden past, as well as our mistakes, into a tapestry of a God-pleasing and fruitful life, if we let him do the weaving and submit to his purposes. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Of course, that's to be the salt and the light and to be the church, not just go to church. Christians have been saved from the penalty of sin and so are blessed and are not cursed. They have been rescued from the power of sin as overcomers, and thus they're not overcome. Sinless living, not sinless perfection, is a major theme in the New Testament. The believer can rest assured that he does not have to remain in bondage to sin. Freedom from sin's power and bondage is taught in many places in the New Testament. By the power of the Spirit of God and by the practice in the Word of God, Christians can be progressively sanctified or set apart from the presence of sin. Thus, the Bible calls them saints, not sinners.
Amen.
Though the word progressively is not in the Bible, Paul made mention of the fact that we are being saved and that we are all on the road to greater godliness until Christ be formed in us, until we become filled up with the fullness of Christ. The author of Hebrews speaks of those who are being sanctified. So the saved, whom the Bible calls saints, make a conscious effort to be sanctified, as the Apostle Paul and other New Testament writers taught and practiced.
We're a work in progress, Robert.
Work in progress.
Alex, thanks for joining us. Hey, just stay with us here as we close down. Alex, we'll have a little bit of discussion afterwards here. Hey, folks, listen. It's about your kids. The children are our future. Wake up, grandmas and grandpas. Help rescue those godly, loving, innocent grandchildren of yours out of the clutches of the devil who's taking them captive at his will. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.